You know, there's something important about us tonight. The Lord is here. Where two or three are gathered together, in my name, I am in the midst. We have that promise. We have that assurance. And it's real. And the only people missing out on anything aren't here anyway. So enjoy yourself.
Wonderful grace of Jesus.
Thank you. wash my sins away. You've gone within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings the melody, there rings the melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Will be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. Will be a song with glorious harmony, when the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody I love.
We've been coming here somewhere around 9 years, plus or minus. It's just exciting to see the young people growing up. There's a couple of them graduating from high school this year, more than a couple, several. A couple from college that were in school when we first started coming here, yes. And it's just been exciting to see them growing up and taking, taking possession of the land. It's an exciting thing to see when young people grow up in the Lord. I did not grow up in the Lord. I grew up in church until I got to be 13, and that was the last I saw of church except for weddings, funerals, and such. Until I was almost 27, 28 years old, the Lord grabbed a hold of my heart, and He took my life and gave it back to me. Only it's a life now that's worth living. And it's exciting to see these young people living a life in their youth and taking possession of that precious pearl and growing up with that and living for God and wanting to be godly and knowing how to be godly. It's exciting. And I just praise the Lord for that.
What has happened? Stand with me, will you?
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a tried and true. and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Thank you.
we, I just wanted to testify that Wednesday night we had a very, very good youth group service. I don't know if anybody has Jesus in their heart, but I think one or two might have been filled with the Holy Spirit. We were halfway through worship, and like the Spirit just fell, and it was so awesome. We sang, Craig didn't even end up speaking, because we had worship for like an hour and a half, and people were crying at the altars, and God just really moved, and I just wanted to thank Him for that, and just to let you know what's going on in the youth group. God's really moving, and it's really going good.
Thank you, Mark.
It was exciting to be part of that. Young people were just lined up along the altars that night, and they were just seeking the Lord. And I believe the Lord was answering a lot of prayers and just giving them a lot of what they were looking for.
Amen.
It was exciting.
Good. Praise the Lord. Mary?
Today at work on my last lunch break, the ladies in the lunchroom. I just felt like singing a song, and I just asked them if they wanted to hear a song. I said, on Friday night, we had a celebration, and I sang it for them.
Okay, good.
That's the same one.
Good.
Nobody walked in as well. Just four of us.
3 John verse 2. I don't know if you remember, but way back, first time we preached on health and healing, we talked about how you can prolong your life. Hopefully some of you have been taking those steps to do that. Tonight I want to talk about why there is sickness and suffering. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. We read this verse last time. It's kind of the key theme verse for this whole idea of health and healing. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things. Pause there for a moment. Of all the things John could wish for, above all things, this is what he wished for. That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, he wants not only your soul to prosper, but also he wants your body to prosper in a healthy way. That way you can minister to other people's souls. It takes a healthy body to do the work of the Lord. And so he says that above all things, I wish you may prosper and be in health. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this evening. May it minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I actually thought this would be an interesting topic for us to look at. Most people are concerned about their health, and if you're not, that's probably because you're young and you have it. Sometimes we're not concerned about our health until we lose it. The time to be concerned about it, however, is before we lose it. And the more I think about this, the more I realize that the church has dropped the ball in this regard. You know, the church is concerned about a person's soul. We're concerned about a person's spirit. Two of the three, it would make sense to me that we would be concerned about the body as well. And I think that God would have us to be concerned about the body. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be a whole person, and he wants to be sanctified wholly, which would include body, soul, and spirit. If I were to start a Bible college today, I would require some kind of teaching in medicine, health and healing for pastors. A lot of our work is involved in that. It's a very real need that people have. When their health is gone, they turn to the Lord. They want answers. And we pray for them to be physically healed, but there is so much more to it than that. And so I have taken upon myself to do more study in this area. This is an area that I sorely lack in. I don't have much knowledge, but I would like to get more. Before we get into the message tonight, I thought I'd share with you some actual injury reports by Keith Sullivan. He says, a few years ago, I worked in a military hospital where one of my duties each day was to review the injury reports generated in the emergency room. In each patient's own words, here are some examples of serious injuries which warranted a visit to the emergency room. Okay, here's the first one, quote, during a racquetball game of doubles, my partner and myself went for the ball. Both rackets hit the ball with my head in the middle. The second one, while playing softball, I fell on my right shoulder. The injury happened on a softball field. The third one, while riding an elephant in Salt Lake City Zoo, the dirty beast decided to sit down, causing me to fall, temporarily dislocating my left knee. Was reading the newspaper and walked into the lamppost on southeast corner of New Barracks north of hospital. But here is my favorite one. This one is so rich. Did not see B-52 eight engine 400,000 pound bomber and walked into it. How can you miss that? Today, or the body is a small part of life when compared to the spiritual and the soul, but nonetheless, the body is important. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 mentions four areas of life. Jesus increased in these four areas. It says he increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. In favor with God and in favor with man. There you have. There is mental, physical, spiritual, and social aspects of life. Jesus increased in all of those areas. And that should be our goal as well, to increase in those very same areas. Mental, physical, spiritual, and social aspects of life. Now, often it's God's will for us to be healthy. You know, we kind of shy away from this a bit today because of the prosperity gospel and the health and wealth gospel that have taken it to an extreme. There are times when it's God's will for us to be sick, which most of them forget about. But mostly, God wants us to be in good health. In many ways, the teaching tonight is an overview of some things that I would like to study deeper on myself. Number one, there are three reasons why there are sickness. There might be more than three, but from the scriptures, I see that there are three reasons for sickness, why there is suffering. Number one, there is natural suffering. We are subject to the limitations that we have in this human body. Because we have human bodies, there are certain limitations that we experience. Growing old is a part of life. And there are some limitations that come with growing old, but it just naturally happens to all of us sometime or another. Philippians 2:25 says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and must have been a southerner, Paul, for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So here was a fellow workers of Paul that just, he naturally got sick. I'm sure that Paul prayed for him, but he wasn't healed at that time. He still carried upon him that sickness. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. So Paul even had to leave one of his fellow co-workers behind because they had been taken sick. It's a natural part of life, some sicknesses are. There is natural suffering because we live in an imperfect world. We no longer live in a perfect creation. We live in a fallen world. Natural suffering will result in sickness, and sometimes that sickness will lead to death. And so even death, the sickness that leads to death, is a natural part of the suffering that we experience in this life. And then we suffer and are sick for the second reason, chastisement. Sometimes we are sick because we are being chastised. 2 Chronicles 21 and verse 18 says, and after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. Now, if God gives you a disease, you're in trouble. You better know it. The guy in trouble in this verse was a king, King Joram. He was in trouble because he didn't get rid of the high places. Remember, the high places were the altars that were used to worship the true God, Jehovah, but also the false gods. He's in trouble because he didn't get rid of the high places. He's in trouble because he led the people in whoredoms. They chased after other gods, were involved in idolatry and spiritual prostitution. And the third reason he was in trouble was because he killed his brothers. Nice guy, right? He did some pretty wicked things, and God says, I'm going to chastise this guy. I'm going to punish him because of his sins, and I'm going to lay this sickness on him that is incurable. His sickness was a result of God judging him for his sins. Sometimes we are judged for our sins, and we become sick as a result of that. In fact, we are told to judge ourselves before we partake of communion. And because we sometimes don't judge ourselves, many are sickly among us, and some even die prematurely. But I'm not saying that all sickness is a result of sin, but a certain amount of sickness is the result of sin. And then not only because of judgment, which falls under chastisement, but also because of sin which can be willful or sin that is done in ignorance. An example of willful sin, Proverbs 23:31-35. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eye shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Kind of that queasy feeling. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. Here's a sad part. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Alcohol has been a big cause of sickness and suffering in this life. And that's a result of people willfully doing something that the Bible warns against doing. But then in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This is not willful sin. This is sin that is done in ignorance, or it's not following God's principles or his laws because we're not aware of them. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You have to know something about the body and how it works and how to take care of it. If you never change the oil in your car and your engine blows up, you can't blame it on the car manufacturer, can you? There are a lot of things that you can do or not do to wreck your car. Just simple neglect will ruin your car. And there's the same way, there's things that we can do or not do to our bodies that would cause our bodies to be sick, to wreck, to blow up. Okay? So some sickness is a result of natural suffering. Some is the result of chastisement. God might be judging us, or it might be because of our sin, either willful sin or sin in ignorance. The third reason for sickness is so that God might be glorified. God may be glorified in our healing, or God might be glorified if we remain in our suffering. Remember the man born blind? He came to Jesus, and the disciples said, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? See, they got one of our points of the message, but they thought all sickness was a result of sin. And Jesus said, neither, but that God might be glorified. And sometimes there's sickness and there's suffering in our life so that God can be glorified from it. If he heals us and he knows that he can receive greater glory for that, he will. He will heal us. But if he knows that he can have greater victory in our lives, if we remain suffering, in suffering, he is able to do that and may choose that route as well. Suffering also many times is a purifying grace. Suffering makes us better. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. But what you need to do is, if you get sick, you need to ask God to heal you. You need to ask him to take away that sickness, take away the suffering. That's what Paul did. Paul said, I did this not once, not twice, but three times. I asked the Lord to heal me of this. And finally God said, no, Paul, I'm not going to heal you, but I'll tell you what, my grace is sufficient. You'll be able to live with it. You'll be able to cope with it. And if God decides not to heal us, we just keep on going. We serve him anyway. I'd like to give you four ideas on what you can do to stay healthy. And understand that I'm not the picture of perfect health myself. I'm learning some of these things. But one of the things that you can do to stay healthy, very simply, is sanitation. Be sanitary. I'm going to give you a verse you've probably never heard read from the pulpit. You never heard this verse preached on. I guarantee it. You probably never heard it read from the pulpit. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 12 and 13. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy wagon, and it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. Simple sanitation. You know that a lot of our health problems have gone away since we put into practice laws of sanitary. Sanitary laws. We've just become more involved in cleanliness. You know, the leper had to, I fell on my head like Lowell would say. And he would have to go, and he would have to cover his upper lip. You know the lepers, when they went around, they would have to yell, unclean, unclean, so that anybody saw them, they could run, and they could get out of the way, because leprosy was such a contagious disease. Do you know that when they yelled, unclean, unclean, they had to cover their upper lip? You know why they had to do that? That's right, so they didn't breathe on anybody. Sanitary laws. Leviticus 13, 58 and 59, and the garment, either wrap or wool, or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, then it shall be washed the second time, and shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy, in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof, or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or pronounce it unclean. I could have picked out all kinds of verses here. The point is just this. 83 verses in the Bible talk about washing or shaving. No, it's not there. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not in the Bible, but it is a good practice. Practice cleanliness. Then exercise. This is something I need to do much more often. My exercise results in me walking to the post office every day and back. But you know what? I came across a verse that's very interesting. I never really saw it before. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, kind of a place you wouldn't expect to find it either. But it says, And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Here's the part that I want you to get. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Cursed is the ground for your sake. The curse is for your own good. That's really what God is saying to Adam here. He's pronouncing these curses upon him, but he's saying, for your own good, I'm going to make you work. For your own good, I'm going to make you work the land. Work is important in staying healthy. Work is important in staying healthy. For your own good, I've cursed the ground. I'm going to make you get out and work for a living. Genesis 3:18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Eating the right things is important in staying healthy. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. It does. Doesn't profit a great amount, but it does profit a little. Get the proper amount of rest. Matthew 26:45, then cometh Jesus to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And in Mark 6:31-32, Jesus said unto them, again, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. You know, the Sabbath was made for man, Jesus said. It's important for us to have times of rest, to get proper amounts of sleep, to get alone by ourselves or with those that we love, or to get alone with God. Somebody said, if you don't come apart, you will come apart. If you don't come apart and get with God, you will come apart physically and in other areas of your life. We have much stress that causes us to come apart. And I just wonder how many diseases today are upon us simply because we don't know how to handle stress. We have so much stress in our life and we don't know how to relax. We don't know how to rest. And we have all these problems. The third thing that you can do is have the right attitude. Right attitude. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart does good, just like a medicine would do. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but on the other hand, a broken spirit dries up the bones. I've been researching diseases to biblical causes. Biblical root causes. And I'm looking forward to sharing some of that with you. But there are some very clear things in the Bible that says, if you do this, you will have this health problem. Or if you do this, you won't have this health problem. And I've been studying that, and I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. Proverbs 16:24 is another one. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know what it's saying? It's saying just be nice. You can improve your health by being nice. But those that are not nice find many times that they have health problems as well. There's a good advice in the New Testament. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Anger causes health problems. We all know ulcers have been said to come from those that have anger and uptight, tensed up feelings. I have heard, I don't know if this is true or not, I have heard that laughter prevents and may even help remove ulcers in some cases. Let's just have the right attitude. And then diet. Not all health comes from diet. I think there's probably an overabundance of diets and importance put on those today, but some health does come from diet. I would include fasting in this particular point. Isaiah 58 tells us that we fast, our health would spring forth speedily. Fiber is very important to get into our diet. You know that other countries of the world don't have some of the diseases that we have simply because they have more fiber than we do. We need to get fiber into our diet. Genesis 1:29 is a command that was never lifted. Never lifted. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Now, we are not under the Old Testament dietary laws. I want you to know that if you eat pork or some of the things that were listed there as being unclean for the disciples or for the church in the wilderness, you are not sinning. Okay? It's okay to eat those things now. We are not sinning. But physically, some of those things are not the best for us to be eaten, simply because God forbade them for one reason or another. Listen to the verse that he gave to them. In Exodus 15:26, he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. So if you follow my ways, my laws, my commandments, you won't have the diseases that are upon the Egyptians. That is the first mention in the Bible of disease. But this is an important promise because it was repeated a second time in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. He says, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them, Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Simply following God's instructions in his word would go a long way. We know that many diseases were caused by vitamin deficiency. You know, scurvy and rickets. When we learned about that and we started getting the proper amount of vitamin, we did away with those diseases. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, God says. Psalm 104 and verse 14, he causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. There's another thing that we can do to increase our health. This is just a taste. It says that bread strengthens man's heart. I would take this to mean the bread of the Bible, though. And I'm sorry if you eat white bread, but it won't strengthen your heart. It might help you in other ways, but let me tell you why it won't strengthen your heart. Some essential vitamins have been taken out, have been removed in the white bread. For example, vitamin E and lecithin have been taken out. And if you eat white enriched bread, let me tell you what they do. I'll give you an example here. To make the white flour, they take out the vitamins that are in the wheat. And this is my wife's area of expertise, not mine, okay? But let's say they take out 11 of those vitamins, and you just don't have them in your white bread. But now they say, we are going to enrich you. We are going to enrich this flour by putting some of the vitamins back in. This would be analogous to me walking up to George, putting a gun in his face, and say, George, I want all the money that's in your wallet. And George opened it up, and he's got a whole $11 there. I'm going to be rich. George hands me that $11, and I feel bad. I say, George, I'm going to enrich you. And I hand $5 back to him. Should he feel good about that? No, he shouldn't. He shouldn't feel good about that at all, because really, in reality, I have stolen $6. That's what they do when they enrich white bread. They take the vitamins out from the wheat, and then they put some back in, and you feel like you're doing good. You feel like you've got a lot because you've got enriched bread. Bread to strengthen man's heart. Now, if you ever get sick, finally some steps to take. Some steps to take if you are sick. First of all, check for a cause that you can eliminate. Is there something that you are doing that is contributing to this? Is there something that you can eliminate? Something in your diet or exercise or whatever? Is there something that you can do to eliminate it? Number two, pray for God to remove it. Ask God to heal you. And along with that is call for the elders of the church and be anointed with oil. James 5:14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And here again, I think the church needs to know more about health. I mean, if people are coming to us and they're expecting us to pray for them, maybe we could have some insight in what could be they are doing that could be contributing to their bad health or their sickness or whatever the case may be. You know that in the Old Testament, New Testament even there, when people were healed, they had to go and show themselves to the priest. The priest was like a medical doctor in those days. And so, again, I think the church has kind of dropped the ball on this. We don't have knowledge like we should have, and we need to regain it. And then the last thing that you can do is accept it and go on serving the Lord. Just accept it and go on serving the Lord. Check for a cause that you can eliminate. Pray for God to remove it. Pray for His will to be done in your life, in your body, in your health. Call for the elders of the church and be anointed with oil. Accept it and go on serving the Lord. Somebody has said, if you are sick enough to go to the doctor, you are sick enough to call for the elders. And I think that's true. And you know what? I think we should give God first chance, unless it's an emergency and you need to get to the doctor. I want you to know that I'm willing to come and pray for you if you would call me. I've often struggled. My wife and I have often struggled about if somebody has a sick child, should they bring that child to church? Let's say it's a contagious disease. We've really struggled with that because, well, they need to be in church so they can be prayed for. I think I finally got the answer as I got on my face before the Lord, and I said, Lord, what do we want to do about this? We want to give you first place. We want to give you first chance. Here's what I think the answer is. If your child is sick, is contagious, instead of taking that child to church and getting everybody else exposed and still put God first, call me up and ask me to come to your house and anoint your child and pray for your child, and I will be glad to do that. And cover the upper lip. And I would be glad to do that. And I'd call up Pastor Craig, and I'd call up the elders, and I'd invite them to come and pray for your child or pray for you or whatever the case may be. And I really think that's the answer. If there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, is really what the scripture says. Now, I don't have any problem with standing up here and saying, if there's anybody sick and anybody wants to be prayed for today, you come forward. We will anoint you with oil. We'll pray over you, and we'll trust that the Lord will heal you. But it takes greater faith on your part to call me. And you initiate it. You know, when Jesus was on this earth and he was going around healing people of every disease, scriptures say that they brought to him those that were sick and those that were diseased, but he healed them and he touched them. And I want you to bring your children to Jesus and give him the first opportunity to be their great physician and to show himself strong. I mean, after all, if you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you an antibiotic and then you come to church and you get prayed for, who gets the glory? Well, you don't know if it was the antibiotic or if it was God. You just don't know. Usually the doctor winds up getting the glory for it. And I'm not against doctors at all. There's a place for them. I think sometimes they feel that their role is of utmost importance. And it cringes sometimes me that we give in to them and they have the final say all the time when we really are responsible for our own health care. Doctors can be wrong. It's up to us to research it out and to do what we think is best for ourselves and for our families. And so I would just encourage you to put the Lord back in health care. Put God first place. Jesus is the great physician. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that healeth thee. And, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It's God's will most of the time for you to be healthy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth tonight. And, Lord, we want to be whole, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, my prayer tonight is that of the Apostle John for these people, that I wish above all things that they may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospereth. Lord, I want them to be healthy so that they can work for you, continue to work for you, that we might see souls saved, people delivered from bondages, that your kingdom would be expanded all across this world in which we live. And so, Lord, I pray for health for each one. And Lord, I pray that you would be first place in our life, even in this area of health concerns. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save.
dismissed. That's it for this evening. See you all Wednesday.